You didn't realize you were going to get mixed up with a bunch of crazy stuff like you have with me.
Well, I'm going to put tape 3 side B, so we'll know where we are. Right. And we were talking about your activities with the Mounted Police, and I've asked you how to got your name.
Well, they wanted the Mounted Police name, and so the City of Long Beach, the police department gave them the right to do it. And our first president was Walter Lentz, who was the chief of police at that time.
How do you spell his name?
L-E-N-T-Z. Bill Wright was the president, the next president we had, and he was the next chief of police following Walter. And then Frank Vessel, who was one of our really sponsors of the group, he became president, and he was president from 1942 to 1950. And then we dropped back into our own members, which was Bobby Nolte of the Diamond Cab Company, and the next one was Ward Thompson, who was one of our early riders, and then Alvin Slate by that time got to be chief of police. And so he was one of our riders, so quickly the chief of police, we made him the president. And so it went on from there. From then on, we haven't had anybody who's chief of police. Only all chief of police have been honorary members of our group.
How many people were members did the group have?
Our highest number of men, people, writers and non-writers, was approximately 150. Mm-hmm. I didn't know enough of but I was present in 1961, and I was captain in 1959 I was captain. And in 1960, I was vice president, and in 1961, I was president. And both years, I was vice president and president, my captain, or Fred Reedman's captain, didn't do a job, and I had to carry through being captain, too. And then when Ben Knight took over, who used to have a large grocery store, supermarket out in Naples, when he was president, why, he made me captain again, and that was in 62, and I carried on as president, as captain then, till 1967, when I told him I'd had enough being captain. I didn't want it any longer.
What did the captain do? What were the functions?
Well, the captain practically is manages the organization. He okays all the parades you go to. He sees that the horses are up to stuff. The saddles have all got enough silver on the standard deal. We have a horse committee that works with the captain for equipment and horses to investigate them and make sure that they're up to the par that we set for a standard to use.
This is in the breeding?
Not so much the breeding as the conformation and color. Conformation and color. Our horses have to be so high and weigh about so much and be a golden palomino color with a white mane and tail. So then we have to have on our saddles, we have to have the pommel all silver. We have to have a heavy silver breast collar. We have to have silver on the bridle, sufficient enough to really cover it. And on the tapadero, silver. And we have to have silver spurs, and our gauntlets have to have a sufficient amount of silver on. Then we all have to wear a silver band on our hat, and we all wear the same style of hat, white hats. And for a long while, we used one uniform, and then when we got to go riding the Mounted Police, the Tenement Roses so much, the Tenement Roses
equestrian chairman, wanted us to change uniforms. So we got to wear white shirts with red roses on them and black pants, striped pants, and a white hat and black boots. And then we got to wear blue shirts with red roses on them, and then gold shirts with red roses on them. And,
always the red
shirts. Yeah. And in lots of cases, where the red shirts, we wore red pants with them, and so forth, to give a new deal all the time. And we had to pay for them either ourselves or by the earnings on the troop. One of the fortunate things about the troop is it's fortunate for us in the Mounted Police, as it was for a lot of other organizations. We bought a piece of property out here where we keep our horses, clear out on the diagonal and Wardlow, and we were way out in the country. We had a dirt road to get down there. It was just a trail. It was only a one road way down to it and back. And it gradually grew up till they put roads in there. They put the diagonal cut off through. They put the Studebaker Road through and Oliver's Road through and all of them. The first thing, people moved out there so much that they didn't want horses out there anymore. So,
well, where would that be now? What streets where the property is?
It's right there at the diagonal where the fire department is, right along the side of the fire department is where the diagonal and Palo Verde's come together. They come together right there, you know, and Wardlow Road comes in there.
It's out in the direction of El Dorado Park then.
Yeah. And so it was a, we sold it. We bought it for a song, you might say, because we bought it when property was farmland out there. And when we sold it for business property because they got a hospital on it now. Los Alamos Hospital is on it. And so, and there's a church there, too, on the property we had. And we got enough money on it to put that money in, and we set up a deal where that the money could not be used anything but for the interest off of it could be used, and it's still that way. We've still got the original amount of money, and we have lived off the interest of that, plus the dues and the money we spend for everything's assessments and all to get everything going. You might say that we went to the Eisenhower inaugural deal, was the first one we went to, and we hauled our horses back the train, and we slept. We couldn't get a place to stay there, so we slept in the sleeping cars to take care of the deal. The next time we went to an inaugural deal was Nixon, and we took our horses back in these vans that hold all racehorses, and it cost us $10,000 to take our horses back. We took them back there, and we went back by air, and it made a lot of difference deal, and we had to stay at rooms far enough in advance, so we got good rooms, and we had a nice time back there. Only it was awful cold. We were just about close to death during the parade. And then we went to Honolulu for Honolulu Days, and we shipped our horses by United Airlines over there. And we went over by United Airlines, and we had a very nice time that time. And the horses really went by air better than they ever went any other trip. It seemed to be less wear and tear on the horses, and we got less gamp and so forth than any other time. And it was done. They have for hauling horses. They have big crates that they put the horses in, three horses to a crate, and they roll them in to they put them up on a thing to lift and lift them up and stride them in and the whole crate, and it rolls on rollers inside the air, and they roll it back, and it's the crate is locked to the floor solid, and it's such a strong big heavy crate that the horses can be jammed anyway and they don't hit it. But the horses, we sent people to horse, and they said the horses never, you thought they were going to stand on the ground the way they handled it. So then we went by train to the Rose Parade in Portland, and went up there and to that parade, and we led that parade. practically every parade we've ever gone into, we lead. If we can't lead it, we don't want to be in it. We just figure that we're prima donnas.
So you're all or nothing for the leaders, huh?
Huh?
You're either leader or nothing.
Leader or nothing.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we lost out of it. This new equestrian chairman that took over the deal from Mr. Fairbanks, who had been the chairman of the equestrian group for the Tournament of Roses for years, when he took it over, he says, we're going to spread this out and give the leadership to different organizations. Well, they did 2 years, and both years they got so much comment because we weren't there that they finally come back and we're back again leading it. And we already got our invitation for this year to lead it again.
How do people get into the police group?
If they're a good horseman and got enough money, they can get in. Because the horses now that you have, they'll average at least $5,000 a horse. Saddles, it's hardly a saddle in our group, but it isn't worth $10,000.
I would have, when you were describing the saddles, I was wondering.
And the uniforms, $135 for a shirt is low price. So everything that we get is $125 for a white hat now. It used to be you buy them for about $60 and $125 down, and the last time we bought them, they said it was going up. So,
but now the people who join, you say they have to be a good horseman and have enough money to have the horse.
All you have to do is get acquainted with the member of the Mounted Police, and we'll invite them out if they got a good personality. We do it a whole lot for friendship. We have our own parties and our own private rides. Different members, they live in Rolling Hills, like Conrad Fisher and his wife. They live out there, and they invite us over there, and we have a ride in Rolling Hills. And we have Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R. And we ride through Rolling Hills, and we come back and have a nice potluck dinner at their place. Or sometimes she puts it on. We ride down to Roger Stokes in Cherry Valley, and he does the same thing. We ride out through Cherry Valley and the hills down there. We go over to Redlands and ride with Mr. Reedman and his deal. We go up to Solvang and ride with Mr. Paul Dietz and his group and have the same parties and the same thing. Our group is...
You had mentioned Paul Dietz. Is he the man who used to be in politics here?
He was our city councilman.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a grocery store in Naples for a long while. And then he got into the council, and then he bought some land so he wouldn't have to do anything. He traded his, sold his grocery store and bought land.
Was
and
that the Naples market there?
No, Naples market was Ben Knight. Ben Knight owned the Naples market. And he sold out to Tommy Cole. And then it became Cole's market.
Mm-hmm.
You're back on there again?
Yeah, we're on.
All right. And we go to different places. I like this weekend. We're going to San Fernando to lead the parade in San Fernando, and it's called the San Fernando Fiesta Parade. And one of our members, Mr. Jack Dunn, is having his over his house for a brunch after the parade's over. So we have a lot of sociability in it. We have a few parties where we have at the Yacht Club or the Petroleum Club or someplace else. We have a party that... it's for our members and their friends or their guests, and it's been that way ever since we have been formed, because the riding the parade is one thing, but being a member of a group of people that everybody likes each other, no disharmony, it's wonderful. It's a funny organization in one way, that if somebody comes in and he either starts to run us, or he starts causing trouble, he's eliminated, he eliminates himself. The first thing is, he's found himself out and he's gone. And we've had a few of them do that because they couldn't run it or that they expected you to do everything for them and we didn't. Every fellow does for himself and he tries to help the other fellow as much as he possibly can. And we, if a horse gets sick or anything like that, everybody will pitch in and take care of it. Even the fact if we've had a ride, on a trek ride, and the horse gets down, one of the people will go back to his trailer, ride his horse back to his trailer, and get his horse to come back and get his the horse so that he won't have to go in. Anything that happens, somebody is willing to help. And it's a wonderful organization, and we're not in debt, and we have the time to pay our way because everything's gone up. When we first started riding, when we went to Palm Springs, we got a room for two people for $11 a day right down in Palm Springs. It was one of the hotels, it was a travel lodge, and we got that for $11, and we make our reservations for that, and two of us arrived to take a room. And now, that same lodge is $44. And if you put two people in it, it's another $4.
The inflation.
It's inflation, and that's what costs us. When Bicycle was built by Mr. Bowen, he charged approximately $5,000 to build it, and he built it for Mr. Fisher. And when I bought it from him, I paid approximately that much money for it. I have it insured for $10,000, and I don't think it ever could be replaced for that.
How many people actually ride at a time, for instance, the parade?
Our parade average about 25 people. Some of them are less, and some of them are more. In terms of roses, we have 26 people in it, and that's the maximum of lettuce. And we always have a chance to pick people before it, because if they more of them want to ride than can, so you better have your horse and your saddle and everything up the front.
So who selects them? That's the
captain's job. That's the captain's job, to see if they are. And if they feel that the captain has not treated them right, then go to the horse and equipment committee and say, here, what about it? And they'll tell them what's wrong. And a lot of times, it's just that they'll use enough elbow grease on their silver.
Do you polish your own, or do you have somebody?
They're all polishing themselves.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't dare let somebody else polish them. They might use a braid piece on it, would cut that silver and be awful. When you're turning silver all the way through, and you won't let anything else be with turning silver. You don't no silver plated stuff, unless it's a big heavy casting, then it can be silver plated if it's heavy enough.
Yeah. You mentioned selling the property out there where the hospital and church is now on the diagonal way.
Yes.
Is that Woodbridge, you said, or
Calvary?
Calvary. What happened? You sold the land.
We had a clubhouse there, and we sold the clubhouse with it. And they tore the clubhouse down to use the land for a church.
Do you have a clubhouse now? Or
no, we do not. We
invest in any other property?
We haven't made any investments in that way at all, because that was a costly thing to run a clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And taxes on it, and repairs, and pelfrage, and because we had a bar in there, and a lot of people figured they'd break into the place to get to the bar to find liquor and so forth, and It was a headache. Every weekend I was out there repairing things.
Yeah.
So it was a job. And this Alvin Blake, who was chief of police, he helped me. He and I worked together. We took care of it. We was in charge of the clubhouse, and we took care of it, but it sure cost us money. It was a nice thing to get rid of.
About what year was it that you sold it? Do you remember?
I can't remember. Let's see if it's... Right around 1960. 1960 or 1961 it was sold.
Was that area pretty well built up already?
By residences, yes, but there was this one big block in there from the fire department all. Mm-hmm. And then the city of Long Beach had the water department piece, a corner chunk of land over there for the water department that wasn't built on.
Mm-hmm.
And it later was sold. But it was a hard place to get in on because there was the main street on all sides of it, see, and it was hard to get in and off of. So, but the Model Police is a growing organization, and right now we're having trouble to find a place to put our horses because the city is building us off of the property on Golden Avenue that we've had and for years. I've owned it and I've rented it to the stalls out and taken care of the Model Police horses. To a big percentage of the horses, not all of them, because some of them have nice places to live, and part of them live on their own ranch that happened there. But we've done that, and on October, we have to get out and find something else, and we're having quite a time finding something. Every place you go, see, Signal Hill won't allow horses. Bellflower doesn't allow any more horses. Those who are there, they're letting them take care of, but they're at it. And Torrance has stopped having horses over on that side. And Palo Verde is the only place you have horses, but they got themselves priced out of it. You can't afford to go out there. And anybody that has a piece of land big enough to sell for horses won't sell it because the escalation of price is so high that they figure every year they keep it, it's worth more money. And they won't rent to us. We're trying to rent a place, and they won't even rent. We're in a bad shape, but we think we got it worked out now.
Well, how large an area? You mentioned that you have the member event. You mentioned Cherry Valley, where you had gone to a ride. How wide an area you draw members from?
Oh, we draw members from a big area because we got members of several of our members live in Palm Springs, in San Fernando, in Redlands, Solvay, up that far. So we got down at Temeca, we got a member down there. It just seems like we got another place.
Are there many Long Beach people who are?
Well, most of these people were Long Beach people at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And they got tired of living in town and moved to another place where they can be more relaxed. I like, we got two people that left here and went down to Palm Springs just because they could take their horses down there and have them. And they could relax and have more room and they didn't have to fight the smog and so forth.
Who were these people?
One of them was Ward Thompson, who was I think he was our, well, he was an early president. He was a president right after Mr. Vessel went out. After about 51, he went in as president.
Mm-hmm.
And then well, he was one of them, but he's down there. And another one is Howard Amos. It used to be Amos Men's Store down on Broadway and Pine.
Oh.
And Fred Greenman lives out in Redlands, and he used to be attorney here in Long Beach. Connie Fisher, he lived here in Long Beach, and he moved to Palo Verdes, or Rolling Hills, they call it. And John Downing, he moved to Rolling Hills, and he used to live right over there on Pine Avenue. And just gradually, one by one, when they can afford to, they can get out of here and have a good time.
What are the ages of the people in it? I mean, some of these people must be, you know, right, your age, but there's very few people
up to my age. Hal Haney and I are the two oldest people in the group, and we're both past presidents. And,
Hal Haney,
Haney Oil Company. And so,
the younger people who are coming into
That's one of our big problems today is to get the younger people in. And in lots of cases, we have quite a time loaning equipment or so forth because they can't afford to buy it to come in. And they gradually accumulate it after they get in. But it takes a fellow till he gets to making pretty good in his business before he can afford to go out and buy that kind of stuff. That kind of equipment, I should say.
So do you have any younger people in?
We'd like to, because that's the life of any organization, is the young people coming in.
Uh-huh.
And the minute you don't have the young people, you don't have, and that's one of the hardest things we have to deal with today, is we used to have about 40 riders. Now we got about 30. And just we're lucky to keep that many, because then we have a parade or something. We can't get 30 people at once to it because they got their own businesses to take care of and other trips and things are planned. So it brings us down to an average of about 25 members that ride. And sometimes under conditions when it's a particularly three-day holiday and there's a ride and their families want to go someplace or something like that, we drop down to 18 to 20 riders. So it's almost...
Are most of the younger people, the few younger people you do get in, are they Long Beach people generally, or is it still once again...
We're in the surrounding area. We just got a couple new people in, and both of them were... one's a son-in-law, and one's a son of our other members, see? Now, my son is a member, so he's one of the younger group coming in.
Mm.
And he went in on the count of me. And, of course, I had horse and equipment, so he didn't have to spend it.